Welcome to Security Sales and Integration Security Speaking Podcast. I'm Scott Goldfein, Editor-in-Chief of SSI. I thank you for listening as each week we discuss the trends, issues, opportunities, challenges, technologies, and more affecting today's electronic security industry professional. My guest today is Tom Asp, CEO of Burnsville, Minnesota-based VTI Security, which is one of 18 member companies associated with SecurityNet, an integrator group that Tom guides as president of its board of directors. VTI's 110 employees and 6 branch offices design, stage, deploy, and support IP/IT-based systems to all areas of security, including video surveillance, access control, and command center design. Tom joined the business in 1986 and has been involved with SecurityNet since 1995. Tom, thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Scott.
Let's get started. Many of us, Tom, in the security industry have heard of SecurityNet, but everyone might not be familiar with the organization more specifically. Can you provide us with some background on the group and explain how it differs from another organization like, let's say, PSA Security Network?
Sure. SecurityNet originally came together or was really originally founded back in 1992, in which that there were some of the original members were on a event-sponsored, manufacturer-sponsored incentive type of trip. And during that trip, they just got to know each other and started talking with regards to business ideas. They started talking about, basically threats in the industry at that time. And they thought it was a good idea to kind of start organizing just kind of an end-users type of group or an integrator type of group just to kind of get together and kind of talk about those ideas. And so originally they had their first meeting back in 1993, and some of the main reasons that they got together and kind of formed this group was primarily due to the threats that were kind of out there with regards to some of the consolidations that were going on. Back then you had JWP and Software House, and they spun a group called STG, in which that some of the major manufacturers were starting to look at providing those services. And so they thought, as being independents, they didn't have much of a voice with the manufacturer, and kind of pulled themselves together to have communications, to have dialogue with manufacturers, kind of be a little bit self-preservation and protection from that, and have a bigger say or bigger voice. And so that's kind of originally how it started. That was with 7 core members back in 93. The second part of your question is that you asked about how we can get into how it's evolved and changed over the course of time, but the second part of the question was how do we differ ourselves from PSA. PSA is a very good organization, very strong with the leadership of Bill Bozeman, but they're much more of a, in our opinion, a co-op group. They're used for, they're kind of together to for buying reasons, to maybe get better buying advantages from their consolidation, where the membership within SecurityNet is really more about, again, best practices and grouping together to go after projects together, and not so much as a buy-in consortium.
I see. So I think you touched on some of them, but moving forward to present day, what are some of the advantages that belonging to an organization like SecurityNet offers an independent integrator?
Sure. Well, right now there's 18 core member companies in the United States. And the size of it, of overall of the group combined, is around 51 offices. There's around 1,200 employees, and we combined to around $350 million of revenue. So together, we're quite large in what our offering is. Part of the benefits that you're asking about deals with, again, a lot to deal with the best practices that we share. So we're able to share some of the resources on technology. We're able to talk about being a business owner, exactly, you know, the challenges are with regards to whether it be employee benefits or HR or talking about the overall spectrum of the marketplace. And we can kind of learn from each other from with regards to that aspect without always having to recreate it ourselves. We are all independent. So you mentioned about our identity or how do we maintain our identity. My company, VTI Security, we market ourselves independently. We are very secure in the marketplaces we are at, that we're located, along with all other 18 companies. But when we come together, we truly market ourselves as a national because of what we provide to the end user, which is, you know, great service, great delivery, top technical people in the marketplace.
Do you ever encounter sort of any confusion with clients in terms of, your VTI, your security net, you know, you're this large national footprint, you're a more regional independent. How do you reconcile that?
Not really. There's quite a few customers that we have that we fulfill through our national network, and they know my company as being, you know, the location in Minnesota or one of our other locations. But they also know we're very good about explaining on who SecurityNet is with regards to how we support each other and how we provide standards of installation, how we provide standard and pricing, 24/7 service across the board. So they understand that the other companies are all kind of like similar to my company and being an independent company, but they also understand that we've come together and are committed to providing the best delivery that we can with some of the resources and technology that we put in place to do that. So, you know, if you're doing business with SecurityNet, it's still, you know, one person that your main contact is, and there's very high standards within the organization that basically everybody agrees to that your customer needs to be my best customer. So if you were doing business with us, Scott, and you had a location someplace else, and had the standards in place, and we gave that to another one of our SecurityNet partners who would fulfill, they would treat you as if it was their best customer on the delivery and on the service aspect.
And what's involved, Tom, in an integrator becoming a member?
Well, there's on our website you can apply or inquire on there. We do have the way that the organization is structured is again not similar to other affiliations. We are very much ran like a business. We do have a board of directors. We also internally have different committees and chair people ahead of those committees. We have a SalesNet committee in which that our sales leaders from our different organizations meet four times a year. We have a technical level in which that our IT directors or our operation directors get together on those standards. The SecurityNet member themselves, that is typically the person in charge of that business, whether there be an executive or a president or an owner, is the one that needs to be the member of SecurityNet. We meet four times a year. We also have monthly conference calls. So there's a lot of commitment there. How we've been expanding, like I mentioned earlier, we have 18 companies right now with 51 locations. And what we will do is we'll talk to end users or manufacturers, and we look to see where we might have a hole in the marketplace or in the coverage, and we'll go out and we'll search for the best independent integrator that we can find in that location. So we're always actively looking for new members. We're not looking to double or triple the number of our membership because we don't want to have people within the group that actually compete with each other. Otherwise, that doesn't make for a very cohesive type of meeting, but we like to have the best of the marketplaces that we ask to come in or join or present, and we also take those that are seeking to, you know, be considered by, again, going on the website or calling our membership chairperson.
I understand that the organization recently formalized its national account strategy. Can you tell me what was behind that and what it means for the marketplace?
Well, you're correct that it's kind of formally come out that we're in pursuit of the national accounts. But in hindsight, we've always kind of been doing some national account work. Maybe not under the banner of SecurityNet, but the different companies in the group all have some type of national account that they fulfill through SecurityNet. Probably around a year and a half ago, we kind of looked at it as being more of a priority of doing that with the changes in the industry that have occurred. Those changes being there's lots more competition than in the past. The equipment margins have been dwindling due to that competition, and so we're trying to look at how do we go after revenue opportunities together as a group and market it that way. And so obviously the first obvious one is the fact that we need to tell our story a little bit better on who we are and what we can provide for end users. We tested the water by talking to a couple of manufacturers with regards to that, and they too thought that our delivery model would be different than the national ones. The national ones have great coverage and great services, but those services that they offer sometimes can be limited on the resources of whether it be on the technical level or whether it be on the turnover level. Again, since we're independent companies, we all run our business from that standpoint of trying to drive the resources into the company and keep the certified technicians that we have. The nationals many times are kind of predicated on their budgets and on their stock exchange, and when the market goes down or the revenue is going down, those resources get cut. Where we have, I believe, kept those in place with our certified techs. So what we're really offering, Scott, is I think we offered the great benefit of working with a local independent business owner who has depth and knowledge of the industry, but across the board at 51 different locations.
And, without getting too much into specific details in general, is there some sort of, revenue share or percentage that members get if you refer somebody in a different region to a different SecurityNet member and they get that business pretty much? How do you do that kind of trade-off?
Well, through the organization that I explained on the structure, we have rules of engagement, and we're structured to, we are already handling some national accounts that do have set pricing, that do have set services, and so we are very much into sharing the revenues and the profits according to the participation. So, for instance, if I have a company that I'm doing work with, and it's doing work down in, say, Charlotte, North Carolina, I work with my SecurityNet partner SFI down there, and we abide by the governance of the rules of engagement that says basically what he's going to do and what he's going to provide and what I'm going to do and what I'm going to provide and then how we share that together.
Mm-hmm. And how has the recession impacted the organization as a whole? And then, I'm guessing probably depending on regions of the country, certain members maybe were hit harder than others. How has that worked out?
Well, that's a good question, because that's one of the things that we talk about a lot is how is your business in the West Coast, or how is your business in the East Coast or the Central, and it helps us get an understanding of what we're feeling in our own marketplace. So it's very consistently across the board that we're seeing that over the last couple of years, due to some of the recession, we're seeing a lot more competition coming in through the IT companies, the structured cable companies, even the electrical companies are all coming in, and we're seeing that what's happening there is it's you're working very hard for what you're doing compared to what you maybe did a few years ago with a less margin. So we've really had to force ourselves on looking at how to provide for additional added services to much more like an IT type of company, in which that the equipment margin might be far less than it used to be, but you have to go after the other means of services. And that's kind of been a consistent message, I think, throughout the industry, that the change in the marketplace is what some would deem as convergence is kind of taking place, and there's a lot of people involved in it, and it's doing business differently than it was 5 to 10 years ago, and it probably will continue that way.
Yeah, and are you still seeing that into this year so far? We're about halfway through now. How's it been this year, and how's the outlook for the rest of the year?
Well, I think overall, I think there's more business than there was than 2010 or even 2009. I think some of it's kind of opened up a little bit, but not to the point that that you'd like to see, I should say. It's still a struggle out there with regards to finding the business and securing the business, and especially at the different levels. And again, probably because there's more players in our marketplace than there was 3 years ago, too.
Well, speaking to that, Tom, as far as strategies moving forward, what might be three technology or services based on technologies that the membership is especially excited about, and why?
Well, there's definitely a lot of technology out there compared to, say, 5 or 10 years ago. Things are constantly changing with regards to the technology and the security industry at a very fast rate. But I think what we're excited about is part of the intelligence that's going to the edge with the video, you know, the analytics and the storage that's out there at the camera, along with the type of quality that you're getting with those cameras at the prices that they're set at right now. We're also like what's happening on the access control side with the smart locks and the wireless locks that are happening. We think that's going to have end users looking or customers looking at installing more card access than before, because the cost of installing that and then providing that will drastically go down compared to where it's been in the past. But I think what we've really had are kind of getting a little bit excited about is the change of our models and the changes of a lot of models of members within security now, which is really going after that reoccurring revenue model based on those additional services that we have to offer due to the change of the price of the equipment. And I think that a lot of people are adjusting to that. I think it's becoming much more industry acceptable compared to before, kind of, again, like the IT model, where 5 years ago, I don't believe the end user really wanted to pay for those services, but I think there's a better understanding today than before.
Well, in looking at those services, what are, let's say, you know, three of the most fertile markets that you see right now, and do you see that there's a difference, some variation in that where you are in, you know, the Minnesota area versus, you know, the broader area of the members covering the U.S.?
I think, well, the biggest marketplace or the biggest market right now is anything with the government. You know, the government has put a lot of money into the economy. Homeland, there's been a lot of money brought through on Homeland Security, so there's been a lot of probably the largest spend is with the government. So naturally, we're looking at the government. We also look at other areas such as healthcare has been big as a vertical. And colleges, universities, higher education. So those would probably be the main primary three. For us, we also like to go after the ones that there's some type of government regulation, that there's been a lot of changes within that. So we do a lot of work with utilities and energy companies. Financial institutions, there's been a lot of regulation going on over the last few years. And even the food and drug industry has made some changes with regards to the supply of the food chain or the securing of the food chain. So those would be the ones that we think that are going to continue to offer good opportunities out there for us.
Well, it sounds like in the case of SecurityNet, you're finding some strength in numbers and sharing best practices. Interesting organization. I thank you for explaining more about it to me and to the listeners, and enjoyed speaking with you today.
Thank you, Scott.
That wraps up our time for now. I'd like to remind listeners for comments and questions to email me directly at scott.goldfine@securitysales.com. And once again, thank you for listening.